Hello, this is Weekend. Let's hear it on WMUK. I'm Kara Lawrence. Glad you could join us. The Chicago Tribune says Johnny Rogers plays piano better than most singers. He sings better than most pianists. And he writes songs better than most singer-pianists. Johnny Rogers is a guest in our studio today with Jazz Currents host Keith Hall. Our engineer is Martin Clem. This session was recorded when Mr. Rogers was visiting his alma mater, Western Michigan University, in December of 2017.
Today in the studio, we have a man who is no stranger to this campus. He's a singer, songwriter, pianist, and he's a graduate from WMU. This is Johnny Rogers. Welcome, Johnny.
Thank you for having me, Keith.
It's awesome to have you back on campus, and I'm eager to hear about all your travels since you graduated from here. But before we get to too much talking, why don't we start with some music?
Absolutely. This is a song called Home to Mendocino. Now, Mendocino, I don't know if you've ever been there, but it's a beautiful town in California. And, you know, I always judge a town by the quality of its wine.
Nice.
So this song is called Home to Mendocino. And Mendocino, more than a town, is in this song kind of represents a state of mind and that sense of coming home.
I got my ear against the track and I can hear that train humming. Smoke is rising from the stack. I'm gonna climb aboard and ride. And when I meet that misty morning mountain air, the sun will rise and I will feel it shine. I spent the weekend earning money for my fare. I'm gonna ride it down the line. 'Cause I'm coming home, home to Mendocino. Got my guitar strapped to my back and I can feel my fingers strumming. The colors fade from blue to black across a sky so dark and wide. But when I'm buried in your golden blossom hair, the sun will rise and I will feel it shine. I may not have much, but I've got love enough to share. And I'm coming back to make you mine. 'Cause I'm coming home, home to Mendocino. This old guitar and I are following a star. Coming home, home to Mendocino. Mendocino's where you are. I've wandered far, far too long. I thought I'd find a love more true, but now I know that I was wrong. And now I know what I should do. I'm coming home to you, coming home, home to Mendocino. So guitar and I are following a star. Coming home, home to Mendocino. Mendocino's where you are. Mendocino, this old guitar and I are following a star. Coming home, home to Mendocino. Mendocino's where you are.
Yeah, Johnny.
Thank you, Keith.
Man, that was great. You really brought the energy here this morning, didn't you?
Well, you know, it's early morning, but I gotta come out swinging.
Oh, you did. Swinging for the fences. Oh, man, that's great. So you spent some time in Mendocino, I'm assuming?
Do you know what's funny about this song is that I did eventually go to Mendocino. And I swore I would never tell a story about this song. But the truth of the matter is, and it's a gorgeous place. I went there for a week, and it was just beautiful, you know. But when I wrote the song, I actually got the name off of a bottle of body wash. It said, "Made in Mendocino, California." And I said, "Wow, Mendocino, that just rolls off the tongue."
Yeah.
And so I took my shower, and by the time I was clean, the song was written.
Now, that's a great commercial for the soap.
There you go.
Wow. And then you eventually went there, though.
Yeah, it was beautiful. Yeah, I went there on my first honeymoon.
Oh, nice. And they have good wine, you said.
They do have good wine.
Oh, what a great tune. So we're writing songs about California, but you're from Florida.
Right.
Right, from Miami. So tell us how you got started in the music business.
Well, it's funny. I came out of the womb singing, you know, and I've been singing since I was knee-high to a man. And I was very blessed because my grandmother was very much into music. She would play the piano with one finger by ear. You know, she'd just pluck out melodies. And
wow.
She always wanted to be Ziegfeld Follies girl. But I don't think my grandfather much appreciated that. So so she never got to really follow her dream. Also lucky because I have a really supportive family. And my sister was the one, she's 10 years older than me, and she was the one that wanted to play piano in my house. And apparently, before I was born or when I was just a little kid, what she would do is she'd take a piece of cardboard and she would draw piano keys on it, and she'd sit at the kitchen table and play that piece of cardboard.
Wow.
You know, kind of tugging at my parents' heartstrings until they finally got a really nice upright piano, and I was blessed to have it in the house when I grew up, you know, when I was growing up. And my brother, you know, he was a basketball player, so he had these incredibly long fingers, like probably twice as long as mine, and, you know, he could palm a basketball. And he started piano, and he went more the sports route. And turns out, you know, stubby fingers McKay over here ended up taking piano, and you know, it really became something that stuck with me and became a major outlet for me.
So how did you land in Kalamazoo at Western Michigan University?
Well, I took an interesting route. As far as my education was concerned, in that after high school, in that I went to 4 colleges in 6 years.
You're getting ready for the touring life.
Exactly. Yeah. I started at Florida State University in their musical theater department. I transferred down to Miami-Dade Community College. I decided I didn't want to pursue that musical theater training anymore, because I had gotten so much in junior high and high school, and they were so good about, you know, what they taught us and the degree to which they taught us, that, you know, I felt that it was time to focus on something else. And it was my mother that said, you know, I know you like Billy Joel and Elton John and James Taylor and Paul Simon, but why don't you try, you know, an audition for the University of Miami's jazz program. And I did. And I had recently fallen in love with the music of Mel Torme. He became a major hero of mine. And you know, always loved Michael Franks as well. And so I went to University of Miami, and I was having a great time. And I was actually studying under Greg Jaspers, who now directs Gold Company. And might have been Greg who told me about this program at Duke University called the Brightleaf Music Scholarship. And basically it was, I think, 8 to 10 young men and women in college who would come for the summer to Duke University and do a 2 or 3 week intensive. And the man who was the head of that program was Dr. Steve Zagree. And I loved the Gold Company program, which I was very blessed to be a part of for 3 years. Those were three of the most formative years of my education. And certainly many thanks to Greg Jaspers for his training that he gave me at University of Miami, and to Dr. Steve Zagree, who really helped shape me as an individual and as a performer.
You've spent a lot of time traveling, representing the United States.
I'd
love to hear about that.
My New York band, the Johnny Rogers Band, spent a lot of time thinking about that title.
Clever.
We were chosen to represent the United States Department of State and travel around the world. I think we did it for six, maybe seven, probably, I think 6 years. And we were so lucky to see places we never thought we would get to see. We went to Southeast Asia and the Pacific Islands, the Middle East, Egypt. You know, we were actually in a hotel and there was a riot behind the hotel. We've seen these countries in great turmoil. We got to go to Petra and Angkor Wat in Cambodia, one of the most magical places I think I've been. Russia, Belarus, and many thanks to all the embassies around the world, the U.S. embassies around the world who had us come in. And what we found was that music does indeed make a difference. Music, it's funny, I was listening to NPR the other day, and there was a conductor on there, and he said that he had read a quote by Mendelssohn. And the quote was, "Music is a much more precise language than words." And I think that that's absolutely true, in that music, I mean, you watch a film and you take away the music, you know, you lose a certain amount of emotion. And I think what music does, it kind of opens up those emotional, all of your emotional pores and allows you to be transformed. I mean, you know, transformed in the moment, both in the moment and upon reflection as a person. For instance, the power of music. We were in Cambodia, and we were on a tour, and we were coming upon this big group of musicians, and they were playing. It must have been 30, 35 people playing. And they were playing with such verve and enthusiasm and joy. And when we got up there, we realized that they were a band of landmine victims from landmines in Vietnam. They were all missing a limb or had some kind of major issue with their bodies, and had learned to play their instruments in other ways, and yet they still were there with this positive message and this positive energy, and it blew me away, and that's the power of music, really. I mean, it can speak so powerfully.
Wow.
So with that in mind, I would like to I'd like to share a song. You know, the first one of the first ambassadors of American music was a trumpet player from New Orleans, and I think everybody knows who I'm talking about, Satchmo, Louis Armstrong, and those are big shoes to fill.
Yeah.
But there's a song of his that I think is is important to keep in mind in that spirit of gratitude and positivity. And it was a big hit for him in the 1960s. And so this is it.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue, clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of the people passing by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I watch them grow. They'll learn much more than I'll ever know. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. What a wonderful world.
Yeah, man. What a beautiful reharmonization.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, man. There's some twists and turns in there I wasn't expecting.
Thank you so much.
But you really did some nice stuff with that. So I'd love to hear more about working with Liza. I mean, one of the great entertainers of all time, right?
Yeah.
And
I think so.
I mean, so huge. How did that start? How did you connect with Liza Minnelli?
You know, when I was in Chicago, I moved from Chicago to Chicago from Western.
Okay.
I was playing in a piano bar there. And it's funny, you know, I had a hard time kind of figuring out what to do when I got to Chicago, how to get started. And it was my sister who said, well, just pick up the local free paper and look in ads. And I found an ad saying, you know, entertainer, singer, pianist wanted for this, you know, piano bar on Milwaukee Avenue. And the name of the place was Davenport's.
And you still play there, don't you?
You know what? Occasionally I do. It was my home for many years when I was living in Chicago. And when I moved back to Chicago, I lived in New York for, geez, I guess 18 years, right in the city. I was playing in Davenport's in Chicago, and a lot of New York entertainers would come through. And I remember one night, two gentlemen, Billy Stritch and Jim Caruso, came through.
Right.
And after their show, they hung out and they listened and Jim Caruso. Apparently, Billy wasn't available for some dates, and he asked me if I would play his show for him in New York. And that was always kind of where I wanted to go. I wanted to go to New York. I wanted to find a way to get to Broadway. I wanted those were my desires, my goals, a couple of my goals at that time in my life. And so, you know, I moved up to New York. I slept on my buddy's sofa for way too long, as you do, you know.
Yeah.
And he was a great friend, Brian Wilson. Not that Brian Wilson. This one's even better. One of my best friends, who I met through summer gigs and who I'd met at Florida State, and we'd done some summer gigs together. And he was living in New York, and he hosted me basically. And I got to play Jim's show, and through that I also went to a cabaret symposium where I met a lot of New York figures and kind of got my foot in the door in New York. So, you know, I do remember being in New York and having, you know, a few tearful conversations, you know, about how to try to make this thing work, you know, because this is not a business that does you any favors necessarily. Like I said, gratitude is the best attitude. When you get the opportunity, when you get lucky, you take advantage of that opportunity and you go for it full force. And so Jim and Liza were very good friends, and he brought me to an event. She was recording tracks, I think, she had come to a show. I'd met her, and she came with Lily Tomlin. That was awesome.
Wow.
So that was fun. I mean, if we had time to just talk about the people I've gotten to meet just through Liza, it's so funny and so fun, you know,
I'm
just
sure.
People that you never think. But everybody loves Liza, you know, because she is who she is. She's an amazing person. She's every bit as funny as you would expect and as down to earth as you could ever expect anybody to be. And so very generous. And there was a moment where there was nobody at the piano. So I took a seat and played. And she said, why don't you come over to my apartment tomorrow? And I said, okay. She goes, I want to try a few musical things with you. And so I went to the apartment, and one of her trumpet players, Russ Konikoff, was there. And she had me play through some of her repertoire with Russ and her at the piano. And after a few tunes, she said, you know what? I'm going to take you all over the world, baby.
Wow.
And I said, okay. Because there was that moment of opportunity. And I ended up playing piano for her for the next, I want to say 12 years.
Wow.
So when I was with Liza, this was one of the songs that she would let me perform in her show. It's kind of a tip of the hat to my favorite singers, songwriters, and performers of the past. I had written it, well, actually, when I was here at Western. And when Billy Hart came in to do a masterclass, I got a private session with him. And I played this song for him. And he said, you know what you should do, man? You should go to New York, and you should be playing at, like, private parties. I'm getting this kind of, like, Nat King Cole trio vibe from you. And I think that, you know, you would do very well with that. And, you know, he's a wonderful man, just a really positive energy. Talk about positive energy. Yeah. He has it. And so this is a tribute to my favorite performers of the past, and a tip of the hat to Mr. Billy Hart, too.
Jack Frost gone and stolen all the flowers I would bring you. Ella doesn't know the lovely melodies I'd swing you. Satchmo couldn't even blow the love songs I would swing you. So I'm challenging you to take another chance on love. Prayers could not leap in and phrase the praises I would throw you. Hammerstein can't find the joy of getting to know you. The Lord knows that up in heaven pretty pennies flow. You still far surpass their glow. You should take another chance on love. I can't fight this feeling. Makes me feel like stealing cliches like dancing on the ceiling, tap dancing upside down above. I'm going down in glory, such a tragic story. But guess what, baby, that's amore. I've got my knick-knack back for love. Yeah, that crazy rhythm in a dance with Ginger and Fred gets my heart tapping with them. Or maybe Gene Kelly instead. How I love the way you walk, you whisper and you look. Darling, if they asked me, I could surely write a book. Girl, you got me dizzy, stole my love just like a crook. Now give back that love you took. Time to take another chance on love. Now give back that love you took. Time to take another chance on love. Take another chance on love.
Whoa. Oh, man, I wanted to have my brushes out and play along with you.
I was hoping that when I came here today.
That was swinging, man.
Thank you.
I see why Billy Hart had those thoughts about you and mentioned Nat King Cole, and that really does sound like something he might have played. And oh, what a great tune.
Thank you so much. Man,
it's been awesome to have you here. It's been great to sit down with you here and have this private concert and hear about all your travels and adventures. I wish you all the best, and thanks again, Johnny.
Thank you, Keith. It's been a real pleasure.
Keith Hall spoke with Johnny Rogers in a session recorded in our studio by engineer Martin Clem. These features are supported in part by a grant from the Irving S. Gilmore Foundation. I'm Kara Lawrence for Weekend Let's Hear It. Have a great weekend.